my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
That we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the No Gimmicks Podcast. I'm your humble host, as always, Brady Leonard. Hopefully you guys are having a terrific week. A great show for you today. I was joined by my brother, Tyler Grant. Always a great time talking to Tyler. And we had a lot to discuss, as always. We talked about surviving the eclipse. We talked about inflation numbers coming in way higher than the quote-unquote experts expected. And we talked about just what the next era of American politics is going to look like. We did some theorizing about what we think is going to come next. I think you guys will enjoy it. It was a great talk. Before I get to Tyler, if you haven't already, guys, please follow us on Twitter at NoGimmicksPod. Please subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to subscribe. If you're an iTunes user, please take a few seconds to do this. A 5-star rating and a good review would really appreciate that. And if you like the show and want to get involved, you can support us monthly over on Patreon, patreon.com/TheNoGimmicksPodcast. All right, without further ado, the great Tyler Grant. All right, guys, we're here with my brother, Tyler Grant. Ty, how you been, man?
I'm good, man. I'm here. I'm still alive after the solar eclipse. Based upon just a soft perusal of Facebook, I thought that either the rapture was going to happen, some sort of satanic thing was going to happen, or some sort of something another related to like Astro Girls and being an Aries or something like that. So I'm still here. Passed over Florida without a hitch. How are you doing? Have you gotten out of the Toledo traffic yet?
I didn't leave the house yesterday during the eclipse. But yeah, every hotel in the Toledo area was booked. Like, traffic was stopped everywhere. I-75 completely just blocked up. Yeah, man, because the moon, you know?
You gotta love the moon.
The moon. Look, dude, I get that the internet's crazy, so anytime anything happens, there's gonna be, like, really bizarre conspiracy theories. But, like, the ones where people go straight to like the rapture or something demonic or something like that, it's like my favorites are like this specific one, like the eclipse, because like it was only people in North America could see it, which is just like my favorite conspiracy theories are like the extremely American, like nothing exists outside of the United States kind of conspiracy theories. Because one, it's like even dumber than the normal conspiracy theories. And two, it's just like America, fuck yeah, kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, the people that are truly convinced that America is the only country that matters, which is very funny.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, I was on a call the whole time, but I kid you not, very serious people that are perhaps famous people that you may or may not know in New York, banking, etc. I had several of them move calls to avoid having to have a call during the eclipse because they wanted to go outside and check it out in New York City, which I was sort of like, sure, I can move that. But one of them, who's a famous person, I was like, it's whatever. And he was like, no, seriously, if we could move that call, that'd be great.
I can't believe that Jamie Dimon was afraid of the eclipse. I can't believe it.
Can I confirm or deny? But yeah, dude, I could believe that though.
Your
that
close guy, personal friend Jamie Dimon.
God, that would be.
I assume, yeah.
That'd be something else, man. I actually knew a guy that knows him well, and he says he's all right. So,
the last man standing after the 2008 collapse, the only executive still employed.
I mean, dude makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, I've met some of these folks. There are killers on Wall Street that just,
oh yeah,
they just play at like a different level. Like there's just sort of like a thing about them. There are these lads that they'll be walking around New York and you'll see them in like a 3-piece suit in the summer, and they're just like not a fleck of sweat on them. Hair is looking perfect, and they're just ripping up and down the street. And you're like, that guy is a mover of worlds. I don't know what he's doing, but that guy is doing something and on the phone with somebody doing some serious something or another. It's just, it's a whole different sport up there.
Oh yeah. Yeah, man. It's the big leagues. Man. It's the show.
I survived. So the eclipse. So we're still standing as far as I can tell.
I do have to say, I did walk outside on my deck and put on the 50 cent cardboard eclipse glasses to look at the sun / moon.
How are the eyes feeling today?
They're fine. But my pride is gone. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Did your daughter see you do that?
No. Okay. No. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Yeah. That'd been one of those kind of forming experiences that she'd have looked back on and been like, this is why I'm dating this like really soft, really thin dude. And he like, you know, it's like really in touch with his feelings and whatnot and talks about like therapy all the time and stuff. And she's like,
when I was one, my dad,
I wanted a sensitive guy after I saw my dad in cardboard stare at the sun.
I know.
You know what I mean?
See, my eyes are fine. My eyes are fine. The glasses work flawlessly, but I can't look at myself in the mirror anymore. So that's it. I mean, dude, man, you and I need to like just go pick a fight with two random dudes, you know?
Yeah,
just kick the shit out of somebody just so I can just like respect myself again, man.
Sure.
Like it's just, I can't believe. I mean, I'm the singer in a rock and roll band. Like, I have these, like, cool jobs, you know, like, hunting fish all the time. I have an arsenal of guns. Like, I thought it was cool, man, until I was staring at the moon yesterday with those stupid glasses. Oh, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to come back from that. Is there any coming back from that? I don't know.
I'm not entirely sure.
My pride is wounded right now, my brother.
I think there's ways to come back from some of these things. I mean, you know, there are definitely ways. So,
if I shoot like a real monster buck, like a real dinosaur this fall.
I don't know that you get to shoot it. You got to take it down with your bare hands at this point if you want to recover. So.
Just a sharp stick and a boxing glove, man. That's all I get.
That's exactly right. Exactly right.
So not speaking of, but inflation came in hot again. Don't worry, though. It's only affecting food, shelter, and transportation.
I love that for us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great news. Great news.
Yeah, I mean it's adorable. You see this administration and it's just inculcated with folks that have no idea what they're doing or have no real life experience, and you wonder, you know, you just wonder why things are going poorly. So every time I see Pete Buttigieg, I giggle to myself. And the good people of Jacksonville, all of our leaders, I kid you not, are constantly talking about in public meetings and whatever about Pete Buttigieg, and it's just, I'm like, come on now, like that dude is an idiot. And watching how the bridge thing took place, seeing like all these, you know, like hundreds of millions of dollars of damage, and then they're kind of like, oh yeah, we're gonna try to fix it and whatever, and it's just like this weird thing where they're like, oh yeah, the people will be back to normal. And it reminds me of how the Biden administration was like, guys, we saved you guys 6 cents at a barbecue. Like they tell you something that you know is bad and that it's absurd, but they say it with a straight face as if it's like this achievement, you know?
Yeah.
And it's incredible. It's incredible.
It's what FDR did, you know, like with the fireside chats during the Depression, then during the New Deal era and all that. He would kind of just talk to people like they were children, you know? But like, it just, like, one, Joe Biden is no FDR. For starters. And two, it just doesn't work with the internet, man. Like, people just know more now. Like, people can look things up. There's more data available. It's like you just can't. I don't know. It is hilarious that they've stuck to that exact same game plan, thinking that it would work. I mean, Obama kind of did it a little bit, but people liked Obama, you know? So it's just, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're not going to stop, but I just don't think it's going to work out the way they think.
Yeah, no chance. I mean, everyone knows. I mean, I saw some report yesterday that was like, same month, necessary expenses month over month, your expenses have gone up for the average American family by like $485. And if you think about, you know, even getting like a really strong, you know, minimum wage, you're talking about, I don't know, what is that? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about trying to find like 30 plus hours more of work.
Yeah.
To figure that out over the course of a month. Like, where are you going to find that? That's like, you know, almost a week of work.
Yeah.
That you're having to find within a month. They're just out to lunch, man. If you're a single mother, how are you affording that? How are you affording that?
Yeah.
If you're a family, you know, it sort of has an exponential growth if you have more than one child. Like, I don't know how people are supposed to say, oh, you know, thank God that we've got decency back at the helm here. You know, we're trying to figure it out. And the answers are like forgiving student debt, some nebulous idea about how we have to give money to the Ukrainians for reasons about Putin or Trump and Russia and P-tape and stuff. Let's
no, it's because Russia has had over 2 years and has only conquered 12% of Ukraine. That means that they're an existential threat to Europe and North America. That's what that means.
Mm.
It makes sense.
Got
if you
it.
Don't I think about it at all.
Understood.
The same
Understood.
Russian military. See, I've never served in the military, but I've played a few video games where you shoot people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The Russians march their entire armored divisions and a whole bunch of infantry into Kyiv.
Mm-hmm.
So they could be picked off by snipers and RPGs. I'm an idiot who's never been in combat, and I know not to do that. Because I've, like, played Halo, you know?
Sure.
Like, you just don't, like, drive a tank into, like, a canyon with, like, a bunch of people that have higher ground on you. The Russians didn't know that. Like, they run a military like they did in the 40s and 50s, and they're really bad at it, and they're clearly no threat to anyone. Sorry about that. Sorry to go off on that tangent. But yeah, so we have sent $250 billion dollars to
them. I don't understand.
So,
yeah. I don't understand the money, man. I've never – it's not even – like, this is one of those times that our foreign policy is the most – at least on the Democratic side, is the most – well, I guess the Republicans vote for it too because they're spineless. But there's a lot of just like giggly – type analysis that takes place that you, with any level of thought, you're just like, this makes no sense at all. Like, for example, many, many American apparatuses lack the stones to say Taiwan is not part of China and is an ally of the United States. We have an embassy there that's we call something else. We give them tons of money and we sell them military equipment. However, we're worried that this, by just saying a thing that is true out loud, that somehow China is going to freak out. And I just, it's similar to this like Ukrainian thing where it's like we pretend as if Russia has any real ability to go deeper than, you know, where they are now into Ukraine with or without our help. Like, it makes no sense. Like, do we really think that the Russians are going to try to take on Poland or go into Azerbaijan or go into North Korea or go into China? No, 0% chance. So it's just, it's nonsense. And we're supposed to pretend like, oh gosh, like Putin's going to be Hitler if we don't stop him. He's going to be marching on Paris by June if American taxpayers don't pay $1 trillion a month to support this like democratic money laundering operation. So I did not say that, but it's true.
All I know is that if somebody's been in power for 35 years and hasn't become Hitler yet, they're not going to become Hitler.
Yeah.
At least the likelihood is very slim. You wake up one day in your 70s after being the most powerful man in Russia for decades and decide to become Hitler.
Yeah.
Seems unlikely.
I also saw something, I don't know if it's true or not, but allegedly, like very early on, that both Ukraine and Russia wanted to come to the table for peace talks and U.S.
Turkey, yeah, in the Turkey talks, yeah.
Yeah, and then and U.S. foreign policy officials were like, no, which is, if true, bananas.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's almost certainly true.
Yeah, which is insane. So.
Yep.
Whatever, man. I'm the adults are in the room, allegedly. That's what I'm constantly told. And decency is just constantly on the ballot, so.
Yeah. I mean, we're pouring all this money overseas. I mean, like the inflation numbers that came out today, you know, it says 3.5% year over year. I don't really care about the year over year numbers, and neither should anyone. Inflation on average is up 19.7% since Joe Biden took office. That's how we really should be measuring these things. Or, I mean, all right, I'm going to do a 30-second libertarian rant for a second just to explain my thoughts on inflation. And then I'll turn it back over to you. But I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that, and I know I've said this before, but a U.S. dollar was called a buck because before the Federal Reserve Act, back in the market hunting days, a buck skin, a white-tailed deer skin, was worth $1. You can make a pair of pants from it. So how much does a nice pair of pants, weatherproof pair of pants, cost now? About $100. for all intents and purposes, inflation in the last 120 years is up about 10,000%. Okay. Like, that's how inflation actually works. You know, forget this 3.5% year over year thing. I mean, our money is just increasingly worth nothing. So that's what we're actually faced with. But going back to the foreign policy stuff too, it's not like our foreign policy is going to change until the late 2028 to 2035 range is when things really start happening. Like, the trust that supports Medicare Part A will go insolvent in 2028. All three trusts that support Social Security will be insolvent by the end of fiscal year 2033. And that's when, I mean, that'll trigger a 25% cut in all benefits to everyone across the board. That is when the shit really hits the fan. We stop spending money on the military, pull back. You know, all that stuff really starts. American life fundamentally changes at that point. Now we're going to skate through. We're going to whistle past the graveyard the rest of Biden's term, whoever, Trump or Biden, whoever wins in this year. You know, then these things won't start happening until 2028. So we have like 5 years of just pretending that we're not facing this existential threat that we are being faced with right now. We can pretend, the politicians will pretend it away in an attempt to buy votes for another 5 years, and then it's all over. And then we really have to rethink foreign policy because we won't be able to afford it. And then we really have to rethink entitlements because we won't be able to afford it. But, I mean, you're just going to see the exact same inflation rates. You're going to see the exact same increases, if not worse, in the debt and deficit, stuff like that. And then things are fundamentally going to change in about 5 years, I think.
I think that's right. I mean, there's a handful of things that are just not fully thought out or discussed that no one is laying the groundwork to protect against. And I think it's, if you listen to our politicians and the way they talk about it, there is either a wanton ignorance or there is a, you know, sort of a knowing neglect. And I think it's kind of a fivefold problem. For example, energy. Everyone knows that American energy is, we have enough resources to power the economy without using any other resources from anywhere else on the planet. And yet we constantly hamstring ourselves and cost American businesses tons of money on energy resources because we want to be, you know, something about the climate or something, which makes no sense because we're literally just paying a premium so that a country across the globe can destroy their energy resources or their environment and then sell it to us, which is insane. And then secondly, we have a population problem. Like, we are constantly on a downward trajectory with how many, you know, how big American families are, which is going to have a 5, 10, 15 year economic kind of cascading effect. And thirdly, you know, our education system, if you ask anybody, is nonsense. It is absolute and total nonsense. And kind of the, what do you call it? Like, how would I phrase it? It's like kind of the infantilization of the American mind, where everyone acts like a child till they're like 28 now versus, you know, we talk about like 1776. I mean, some of the founding fathers were like 24 and are writing this stuff down. So, I mean, it's with those three problems kind of working together, we have sort of a compounding problem. And then, you know, going off of what you're talking about as well, I mean, like, the dollar just absolutely plummeting relatively to other countries. Other countries sort of taking more of a manhandling approach for their currency relative to ours. You have China that's going around the globe basing everything on the UN rather than the dollar, with BRICS and some of the work that they're doing in sub-Saharan Africa. It's not a good situation that we're in. In addition, the American politicians have no desire whatsoever, strangely, to address all the welfare problems that you're talking about. Social Security, we have an aging population. They have no plans whatsoever to address that. The American taxpayer has, I think I saw something the other day that was talking about average American has like $20,000 of credit card debt. The average American median income is like in the 40s or something like that.
Yeah.
And the average American has, what was it, like $1,000 in savings or something like that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but if you walked into a financial planner wouldn't even take you on as a client if you had those numbers. Like, that's insane. You have no ability to do anything if there's any sort of crisis taking place. And based upon, you know, how our government runs, like, these people don't care. You know, they invent crises. They make them happen. They, you know, it's not great, man. You're exactly right. I'm not excited about it. And honestly, man, I mean, I know, like, a lot of my businesses rely on this, like, you know, the up and down of interest rates by the Fed, and that kind of provides a boom and bust. But the whole economy cannot solely rely on whether or not, you know, Janet Yellen wants to raise or lower the interest rates by like 0.5, and suddenly there's all this market movement because everyone's refinancing or selling their house. Like, that cannot be the only thing about the American economy, and that trickles down to everything. That cannot be the thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's because we're led by a generation of leaders who don't care, who rejected the baby boomers. I know Biden's too old to be a baby boomer, but you know, they rejected their parents' generation who actually built the country. They went absolutely nuts. They spent us into all this debt and destroyed the economy, and they don't care because they're, you know, with modern medicine, they're living to 95 now. You know, they don't really care. You know, they're getting their Social Security. They're getting what they want. They don't really care about future generations. It's a selfish generation. They bled us dry. And these leaders, I mean, like, and I piss off Republicans to no end when I talk about this. And I've wrote articles about this too, that, like, I really do believe this election, like, I want Trump to win. Like, I want Trump to beat Biden. Trump was a better president than Biden in a lot of ways. But this is like the least important election of our lifetime. Because nothing will fundamentally change. Things will fundamentally change when the economy crashes in 5 years and we are forced to deal with the consequences of our actions. But it's like Donald Trump isn't equipped to deal with the problems actually affecting the country. Like, it would be, you know, like he'd maybe do a little bit to stop the invasion of the southern border. You know, he didn't really when he was president before. But, you know, he wouldn't be encouraging illegal immigrants to flood over the border. Like, that wouldn't help. You know, like, he might be a little bit better on foreign policy, maybe stop some of the money going to Ukraine, although he hasn't really said that. He hasn't, you know, his position on Ukraine isn't really coherent. But, like, you know, there's going to be no real economic change. He's still going to, you know, just instead of spending money on whatever, sex changes in Africa or DEI stuff on, you know, here stateside, they want to spend the money on something else, like whatever Republican initiative they want to spend money on. So it's just like, we're set up for failure here, unfortunately, in the near term. I just don't see anything really substantively changing until like the end of the next term, whoever the president happens to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could be right. I mean, The difference for me is that Trump brought with him, I mean, outside of like the famous people that they were like constantly like taking out that were like in his like super inner circle. I mean, there were like serious people that were very talented they brought to the DOJ and certainly to the, you know, Office of Economic Development. All the different like Treasury folks were pretty savvy. I mean, there's real work that they did very, very quickly, and that I kind of wonder. And a lot of what they did with like Homeland Security stuff, you know, it took the Biden administration, I mean, 2.5 years to kind of undo a lot of that, you know, and they tried to like complicate it enough where the Democrats couldn't undo it quickly, which is great. That being said, I mean, yeah, I mean, to your point, it's like, you know, who knows? But I mean, I definitely trust, you know, this team versus the other team. And certainly like with everything that you got going on, I mean, the one team's reflexes is to not destroy the country. The other team's reflex seems to be this like theoretical Berkeley educated type of like world policy that it doesn't actually work, because then they realize that like someone has to do something. It's not all like sunshine and rainbows in like a coffee shop in Brooklyn, you know? Yeah. So looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. But I mean, gut check right now. What do you, I mean, Trump obviously loses, right? There's no chance that they let him near the White House. 0% chance.
I mean, if the election was held today, Trump wins.
I just don't think that that's true.
Really?
I cannot believe that that's true.
I think so.
I don't know, man.
I just all he has to do is nothing. Like right now, people are focusing on Biden, finally, and Trump just has to do nothing. Just do absolutely nothing between now and November. I just don't have any confidence in his ability to do nothing.
Yeah.
Because he's a talker. He's a talker, that one. I just, I don't know. I mean, if he could just, like, cool it with the selling Bibles and just constantly talking shit about the judges that are trying to put him in prison and all this. If he could just, like, stop that. Just shine a spotlight on Joe Biden and his Alzheimer's and his bad policy and the economic destruction that he's caused, Trump wins.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, though, I mean, the most novel case in New York comes out and it's obviously against Trump and they're targeting for $500 million. I mean, what is he supposed to do? This is sort of like the arguments that they made against Kavanaugh, being like, Kavanaugh, why are you so emotional when they're accusing you of gang rape? And it's like, I don't know. I can't imagine why I would be so emotional in a confirmation hearing. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like that, where it's like, what is he supposed to do? And it's not as if he can do an actual business venture, because they're going to screw him in every sense of the word. They go after every one of his properties, every one of his businesses. Like, what is he supposed to do? So
there's a huge difference between Brett Kavanaugh displaying what was clearly righteous anger and precisely and specifically going after the ridiculous claims against him while being emotional and passionate about it. There's a big difference between that and Trump. The judge is gay. Corrupt liar. And it's,
dude,
just like,
you're giving Shane Gillis a little bit for his money right there. I like that.
No, dude, nobody can do Trump like Shane Gillis, man. The clowns and losers. Like, it's like, I get it. I get the Trump. Like, I'm no fool. I'm many things, but a fool I am not. I'm not expecting an 80-year-old man to change how he talks now. I understand that Trump is who he is, but it's like, fire boobs lady, hire a real lawyer, and just like come up with a legal strategy to beat, because these charges are ridiculous. I mean, it's clown show nonsense. He can obviously beat this, even the New York stuff. It is what it is. But just like take this with just an ounce of seriousness. Just pretend like Trump clearly now, like, facing all these federal charges and all that, still thinks it's a game. If his aides could be like, Mr. President, can you pretend like this is not a game for 6 months? Then he beats all these charges and he's president of the United States.
Well, I mean, he's going to beat the charges anyway. The civil stuff they're going to hold to him, because he's locked in New York. I mean, they use like a novel procedural case to take.
Can you explain that a little bit for those that aren't as familiar?
Honestly, I mean. It's a kind of a tax base question. I'm not like a
got it.
I'm not. I understand it sort of, but not really, to be honest.
Gotcha.
But it's a way of, I mean, it's a way of just like a way of accounting that depreciates your property, and a lot of New Yorkers depreciate their property of the assets that they have relative to their base, and it's very complicated because he has so much money, and it's a way to kind of lower your tax base. And he did He did so within what is generally acceptable. Now, and here's the thing, and this is like something that people don't fully know, and they think it's like, you know, he's like a tax cheat or something like that. But here's what is complicated about like really, really rich people that have multi-state type real estate assets, that more often than not, they will do things that are based upon an interpretation of the tax code, and they will go to different law firms nationwide that are very famous white shoe firms and get an opinion of counsel about their tax treatment. Like, this isn't like Trump is sitting in his office and like changing a zero to a three or something like that. And they will go and get an opinion that says, you know, Mr. Trump, based upon our review of your assets, we're going to take a little bit of, you know, we're going to take this tax treatment. And that is how they operate. So it is interesting to me that this type of like accounting survive, or that this type of like procedural case survived a very powerful law firm not leaning on New York State to be like, you guys can't do this. You're going to knock out this entire type of accounting. Like it. And so I you kind of saw this a little bit, and you know, I can't say whether or not I've seen it with my clients, but that a lot of people were kind of reaching out to their law firms who gave them a legal tax opinion, asking law firms to bless that opinion again in light of this, because all it would take is you becoming something in the target of this crazy lady who decided that she wanted to make a name for herself. And that's the only reason, like, to be clear, that's the only reason that this happened is because Trump is very famous and whatever. But I mean, this type of accounting is used by everyone and is blessed by every law firm and every accounting firm. And it is what it is. I mean, this is not like an Enron situation or something like that.
Right.
But I don't know, man. I don't know all the ins and outs of it because I didn't read all of it. But generally, I know that that's what it's about. And that's it's laughably insane.
Yeah.
So.
And it is funny too, because it just it's just another show of force from the Democrats, you know, because it's like conservatives, and this is like, you know, this is like modern conservatives just drive me crazy, because they just like, they always want to put out the hypocrisy of the left or whatever, which is just adorable, you know. It's like hypocrisy, like, you know, like, oh, you know, like this is common tax practice for real estate developers and all kinds of businessmen in New York, which is, of course, true. See, like, oh, they're going to take down Trump and they're going to end up taking out a bunch of their own friends and their own people. It's like, no, you morons. They're saying, yeah, we know everybody does this. We're only going to go after Trump for it because we're going to flex our muscles on national TV and tell you to suck our dicks. You know what I mean? That's what it's not hypocrisy. They don't care about that. You know what I mean? They're saying, yeah, I know everybody.
Republicans got to stop. They don't care about that.
Stop. They do not care. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they dude, nothing makes a Democrat laugh more than a Republican pointing out their hypocrisy.
Yeah. They're not going to stop. They're going to literally do what they can get away with. It's no, absolutely not. And yeah, Republicans got to stop pretending that that's a thing. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, you know, what's her name? Fannie Willis in the Atlanta case. That case is nonsense. I don't know if you've read through that. It is gobbledygook nonsense. And if applied to any Democrat in any state for any reason, you could pull some sort of long arm statute esque type thing and indict any Democrat on it nationwide. Like it based upon its terms, it's insane. It makes no sense. And RICO just pulls you within the same conspiracy. So it's like, it doesn't make any sense, but we are told that it's, you know, they're just working really hard down there and doing the right thing. And it dude, nonsense. Like, and people need to start what it's really going to take. And there are some radical Republicans that take this position. I don't know that I take this position, but they take the position that if a Republican retaliates doing these things like this and does so at a level that is effective, then this stops, because they know that they can't do this kind of stuff anymore.
Yeah.
But when, you know, when it's, hey, you know, we can get away with it, they're going to keep doing it 100%.
Oh yeah. I mean, dude, the Democrats are so much better at this than Republicans. Mm-hmm. I guess, I mean, they're so good at this, man. I just wrote an article about, actually it might be out now, I need to check, but
Washington Examiner, maybe.
Yes, I think so.
You're a contributor there, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
And last week, Biden used the Office of Personnel Management to institute a new government-wide rule, basically making career bureaucrats in the executive branch unfireable by a Republican president. So it's like they're already reinforcing the executive branch, the quote unquote deep state, against the next Republican president, whether it's Trump or somebody else, saying like the president can't fire his own people. I mean, dude, they're so good at this, man. Like, they are tying up the next Republican administration in knots now to make sure that the FBI and the CIA and you know, they're going to keep just undermining Republicans. It's going to keep the Democrat agenda moving forward, no matter what. I mean, these people are running circles around the Republicans right now.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, it's not great. And anytime, and that's the thing too. I mean, the funny cutesy stuff that used to take place administration to administration, with, what is it like, you know, was it like Bush to Clinton or Clinton to Bush and or Bush to Clinton? They like glued the desks and stuff like that in the White House. Yeah, like, oh, adorable. The things that they're doing now are, I mean, in Michigan, like the FBI straight up entrapping people. You got people like doing crazy stuff nationwide to get involved in all these different organizations. They're making it insane and impossible to get rid of actual horrible people that are like second or third in command. It's, dude, they know. All we have to do is outlast, you know, whoever, like Republicans in power, and we just keep the train running, keep the payments on time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the only hope I have in the near-term future of the country is just that a better generation of leaders on the right emerges after this batch is gone. Because, like, we're not, you know, it's just like whether it's, and I'm not just making fun of Trump. It's not just Trump. He's a symptom. He's not like the cause of the problem or whatever. Like the Republican Party, but for Trump was even worse. You know, trust me. I'm not some like establishment guy or whatever. But it's just none of these people are ready for prime time. Trump included, congressional leaders. It goes without saying these people are not ready for prime time. And it's just like, man, the Democrats will drive us off of this economic cliff very soon. I mean, nobody even on the right even wants to do anything serious to prevent it. Everybody's on the same board that Keynes was right. You can spend yourself, you spend as much money as you want, rack up as much debt as you want, and you won't be affected by it, even though that's been, I mean, look at the current inflation levels. It's just proven untrue, obviously, time and time again. But Keynes was also a gay pedophile, by the way, liked to rape teenage boys across Europe. A lot of people don't remember that. Hero of the Democratic Party, gay pedophile, John Maynard Keynes. Nothing new under the sun. Yeah, nothing new under the sun.
That was Brady that said that. That was not me. But
it's true, though. Look it up. He loved raping.
But if not true.
He loved sodomizing teenage boys. Yeah, John Maynard Keynes. Yep. Wow. Anyway, so that's going to happen. And I just I mean, it's just like, you know, there's no stopping economic collapse at this point. I think the train has left the station. So it's not so much preventing it. It's just like, what the heck are we going to do once that happens? Because when that happens, you're either going to get Javier Milei or you're going to get, like, an autocrat. You know what I mean? Because it's just like people are going to be desperate. People are going to be starving. People are not going to have health care. You know, everything's going to start collapsing. So it's just like, what happens then? You know, and then we're going to look back and blame this generation, man. Not just the politics. It's not just the boomer politicians, man. It's the voters as well. Ron DeSantis ran for president. He dropped out after Iowa. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like there's just not... People have had choices, but have rejected them. So it's like, it is what it is, man. Like we've made our bed now, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of them are bad at branding too.
Oh no, for sure.
Here nor there.
Yeah, I mean, they hired the Ted Cruz people from 2016. I don't know who told them that was a good idea. Goodness.
Yeah. No good.
No good.
What else is going on? We got a couple more. A couple more minutes. What else you got?
See. What you planting in the garden this year, brother?
Oh gosh! Yeah.
I mean, you live in Florida. You kind of it's all year. It's not like it is here where you have.
Oh yeah. No, let me walk you through. So you walk in. I've got kind of like a little bonsai shelf as you enter the garden, and I've got a couple of like Afro jade. Oh, dude! In this economy, you have to. So that's fun. And then you walk under a trellis that has some jasmine and a Eden rose that are sort of in a race to the top. And then to your right is two different types of roses and then a Georgia sun rose, which is a beautiful heirloom rose. And then there's a Texas sage that sort of has like a kind of a lavender type bloom on it. It's really kind of beautiful. And then a Madame Isaac Perrier rose that's on a little trellis that I bought down in Mount Dora this weekend. It looks very pretty. Then there's the fireplace. You go around and I've got three limelight hydrangeas and then a salvia. And then I've got two white veranda roses and then a Queen of Sweden rose. And then you kind of get around the corner, and then there's a bunch of dahlias that have planted in a row that are have a backdrop of a bunch of Eden roses, which look really pretty. And then there's a bougainvillea that is to the left that is humongous, and I need to prune that. And then there's a kind of a wall of limelight hydrangeas to kind of, you know, disguise my neighbor's garage, which is like a kind of a green color that's not doesn't fit with the kind of feng shui that I'm looking for. But yeah, man, it's a lovely little space back there. I'll send you a video later.
So. Yeah, man. I mean, sounds like a perfect location to lay down in your purple robe with a gold plate of grapes and a whole bunch of naked Roman women.
Oh, dude, 100%.
And, you know, yeah.
I also got into bees this year, dude.
Really?
I picked up a couple of beehives. So, yeah, they'll I don't have space for them in my backyard, but I got a guy down the street that has like kind of a vacant lot that's in the middle of a handful of houses that's sort of protected by all of their fences to kind of create its own little space. And I set up a couple beehives. So, and they're behaving themselves. So, and they're
that's dope. That's dope.
Dude, it's fun to get in there, man. That's one of those like God things, bro. You open that thing up and you pull out one of the, little screens that they've built the hives on. Mm-hmm. And, dude, seeing the work that they've done over like a couple weeks having them, it's nuts. And just like realizing that like that's just creation and how it's beautiful. So.
Yeah, man. The only downside to bees, especially down south, because I have some buddies who raise bees, and I don't know if you're going to be mowing the lawn that lot is on, your buddy's lot, but like, you got to think about this. You got to mow the lawn in a beekeeper suit in August down south.
Yep.
I have heard that. That's the thing. So it's like, you know, they don't like the sound of the lawnmower. Can't blame them. A lot of animals don't. And, you got to get that lawn cut, and it's, you know, 100 degrees, and you got to be wearing a giant rubber suit. So that's going to be uncomfortable, but it's worth it, bro. Definitely worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because it's like kind of a, I don't know. It's like.
You should pay some local kid to do it and just give him a beekeeper suit. Don't tell him until he shows up the first time. Oh, by the way, put this on, kid.
I'll think about that. That's another thing I got to think about.
Capitalism's pretty great, man. Maybe there's some kind of like breathable.
I mean, if he moves
lawn
quickly,
mowing.
It'll be okay. You just gotta move quick, you know. You just don't wanna be out and about. But there's only like kind of a couple feet in front of him. I don't know how he mows it, but if he does it, oh god, I'm gonna have to warn him about that. Dadgummit.
Get some sheep.
Get some sheep.
And just let them loose, and they'll mow the lawn. Put up a fence. Have your little sheep bee farm.
Anyways. Sounds good, man.
I'm just doing veggies this year, bro.
I love it.
Just doing veggies. I got some trees and that I want to get planted. I have a couple. I haven't ordered them yet, but I want to get. They won't be producing fruit for a couple years, but I want to do a couple apple trees, a couple pear trees as well. They both grow great around here, and I have a half acre, so I have plenty of room for them.
Oh, love that.
But man, that's gonna be. I'm gonna try to get them in sometime in the next couple months, but. I'm not looking forward to watching those trees not produce fruit for like 2-3 years, you know? It's going to be painful, but, you know, it's a tree, bro. You know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. These things take time. Tyler, my brother, you got to go. I know you have a heart out here. Anything you want to plug? I know you're not really on Twitter anymore, but you can go plug your Instagram, I guess.
Nothing too exciting. Just always love having being on the show with you.
All right. I appreciate you, my brother. We'll do it again soon. That's all I got for today. I'm Brady Leonard. I'll be back on Monday. No gimmicks.